Okay, this morning we began looking at the I Ams of Christ and went through an introduction, and we read what Jesus, his encounter with the scribes and Pharisees over in John chapter 8, verse 59. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, declaring his eternal nature. This morning we began and we looked at some of the I Ams of Jesus found over in John. And we saw that Jesus said, I am the bread of life in John chapter 6, verse 35. And we looked at this, we saw that Jesus is the giver of bread, and you know, God and Christ have always provided for their people, both physically and spiritually. We saw that Jesus, the gift, referred to himself as the bread of life. He's the gift of God and the sustainer of the Spirit. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, made possible by God. And he claimed that he's the living bread from heaven. So he's talking about spiritual nourishment, not physical food, but spiritual nourishment. And he said in verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. For Jesus died on the cross and gave himself for our sins, and he's provided teaching, his doctrine, that we, through him, might be saved. Then we saw that Jesus said that he was the light of the world in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, he spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So John and John chapter 1 verse 19 talked about the Word, how Christ was that Word, how John the Baptist proclaimed that Jesus was the Word and he was the light. We read also 1 John 1:1-7. So Jesus, the source of light and truth. Jesus distinguished his teaching, as we read in John chapter 8, as light in contrast to the darkness of the religious teachers of his day. He insinuated that the teachers of his day did not have the light of life, but walked in darkness. And he taught the people that they must follow him to have that proper light that he is. And he said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So when they're obedient to Jesus, then we're walking in the light, as John proclaimed in 1 John chapter 1. Tonight we'll begin with another I Am. And over in John chapter 7 and 9, Jesus said that he was the door of the sheep. He said, I am the door of the sheep. He said in verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. When Jesus teaches the parable of the sheepfold and the good shepherd in verses 1 through 16 of this chapter. So turn with me over to that chapter, John chapter 10, and so we see where Jesus is teaching that he is the good shepherd. And we'll look at that point as well. So Jesus here teaches that he is the caretaker of the sheep. And the sheepfold were where the sheep were kept overnight. And we see that there was one shepherd that guarded the entrance, hence Jesus alludes to this. The porter, the doorkeeper, he mentions in verse 3. He said the doorkeeper was at the door. So Jesus guards his sheep. He looks after them. He watches over them. Christians are his fold. Notice in John chapter 10, verse 16, John chapter 10, verse 16. Jesus talks about him being, those being of him. John chapter 10, verse 16. He said there in verse 16, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. I think he's referring there to the Gentiles, who are the other sheep, that will be brought into this fold. So Jesus is that porter. He's the doorkeeper, as the New King James renders that. Christians are his fold. And we have only one entrance. Entrance to his fold is on his terms, not on any man's terms. And so in John chapter 10, verse 3, we see where Jesus said, "To him the porter or the doorkeeper openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." It's interesting that sheep actually attach themselves to the shepherd. They become comfortable around the shepherd. They hear his voice. They depend on the shepherd. And others who would try to be their shepherd, when they're used to one shepherd, would have a problem doing that. But in John chapter 10, verse 16, he said, "Other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I will bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." And obedience to the gospel, we must hear him. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to them that love him." Over in John chapter 1 and verse 2, we see where Jesus talks about obedience. But there are those that he refers to who do not enter the sheepfold, do not try to enter the sheepfold by the door. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep." So we must enter through the door. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But when there are those who try to enter a different way, there are thieves and robbers, and we must be obedient to Christ, who is the porter, he's the doorkeeper. And so we must be obedient to him. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, Paul said that there are those there that were troubled, and he said, "Rest with us." He said, "When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." For those who are obedient to his word, those who obey the gospel, those who respect Jesus as that caretaker of the sheep, they will be allowed to enter his fold. Only those. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, he shall go in and out and find pasture." So we'll be sustained by Jesus when we are obedient to him, come to God through him, only through him. Then in John chapter 10, verse 11 and 14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." He describes himself as a good shepherd. That suggests there's some bad ones, doesn't it? There's some bad ones. And so Jesus was a protector. He is the leader of the sheep. There's no reason to fear because he is our protector. He gave his life for the sheep. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, the Hebrew writer said, "Now the God of peace, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." See, Jesus is described as that great shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. He's the one that provided spiritual blessings to us, and he provides and guides us as a shepherd would real sheep. So shepherds and sheep are frequently used in Jesus' teaching. For example, over in Matthew chapter 18, we see where Jesus discusses the parable of the sheep. And he said, beginning at verse 18, or verse 12 of Matthew chapter 18, he says, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountain to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, surely I say to you, he rejoices more over the sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Over in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus described his disciples as his little flock. Notice Luke 12, verse 32. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. For those who he referred to were those who were obedient to Christ, those who were of this fold, those who rendered obedience and obeyed the good shepherd. See, the good shepherd protects and feeds the sheep. As an illustration, we have commands of God in the New Testament about elders who are shepherds, aren't they? They're to protect, they're to guide and protect and feed the sheep. In 1 Peter chapter 5, you see where Peter talks about this. Peter said to elders, he said in verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither being as lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, referring to Christ, shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Over in Acts chapter 20, we see where Paul, when he addressed the Ephesian elders, he told them to be caretakers of the sheep, to feed them. He said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased, which was his own blood. And he said, well, I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, seeking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember. By the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So we see where Jesus is that watchful shepherd. He watches over us. He protects us. He feeds us. Just like elders are commanded and they're to be keepers of the flock. They're to be watching over them, protecting them, feeding them God's word. See, in verse 16 and 27, he talked about how the sheep hear his voice. They obey him. In verse 15, he said, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So the sheep, those that obey him, are those who hear his voice. See, Jesus is the shepherd and bishop of our souls, as Paul or Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. He said, for ye were as good sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. So Jesus said in John chapter 10, 11 and 14, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives us life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. Now that reminds me when he said, I know my sheep. We're to know Christ. We're to know him and study his word and know what he expects of us and obey him. But Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, he said, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knows our hearts. He can see our hearts. We must know Christ as being obedient, but the Lord knows those who are really his. He knows that. Then we see where Jesus proclaimed to be the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said unto Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And turn with me to John 11. We're going to read this. It's a lengthy reading. But in John 11, we see where this occurs when we have the case of Lazarus dying and being raised. And in John 11, beginning at verse 1, the text is there. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And Jesus heard that, and he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. And Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe, and nevertheless let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. And now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatever thou sayest, thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, because he said, Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master cometh and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard this, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him, and then the Jews, which were with her in the house, and comforted her. When they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laying upon it. And Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. See, Jesus did this. He didn't go to Lazarus right off purposely. He knew he could bring him back to life. He wanted the people to see that, so they would believe that he was the Christ. So in verse 25, we see where this was set in connection to the raising of Lazarus. Now Martha understood in the light of the final resurrection, verse 24. Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. But this statement was a test of Mary's faith and a sign of Jesus' power to cause others to believe that he was the Christ. As we read, he said there in verse 42, I know that thou hearest me always, when he prayed to the Father. He said, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. So he had that opportunity to show that he was the Christ. So this statement was a test of Mary's faith. Martha believed. Mary evidently didn't fully believe. The people possessing a spiritual relationship with the Son of God can make the spiritually dead alive again. And the living shall not die spiritually. Notice verse 25 and 26. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead spiritually, yet shall he live spiritually. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And Jesus often used parables, and we can think of the parable of the lost son over in Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 22. Where this young man, he went off and asked his father to give him what was due him, and he went off and wasted his substance with riotous living. And a famine came, and he was afar off in a far country. He wasted his substance. And when he had spent all, verse 14, when he had spent all that was there, and arose a mighty famine in the land and began to be in want. And when he had joined himself to the citizens of the country, he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk of the swine did eat, and no man gave him or unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'll arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and ran and fell on him as Nick and kissed him. And the son also said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the Father, illustrating God's mercy and grace, but the Father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put on him a ring in his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, spiritually speaking, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. We see where the lost and the found, the spiritually dead and those who are alive, are referenced by Jesus. Over in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, Paul said, if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of the Son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, Paul said, for as in Adam all die physically, even so in Christ will all be made alive spiritually. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, Paul talked about the resurrection and the judgment, and how we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And turn with you to 2 Corinthians 5, we'll just read this beginning at verse 1. Paul said, for we know, if our earthly house, or this tabernacle, our bodies, were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in heaven, those spirits. For in this we groan earnestly, designed to be clothed upon as our house, which is from heaven. It shall be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, in the body, do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might swallow up life. He says, now he that hath brought us for the self-same thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing this, that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, to be spiritually alive with Christ in heaven is what is meant. Wherefore we labor that we, whether absent or present or absent, we might be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to his done, whether it be good or bad. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In other words, people that he mentored to would be benefited by his teaching. But he would be with Christ if he died. He said, "And to die is gain for him." He said, "If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. What I shall choose, I wot not, for I'm in the strait betwixt two. Having desire to depart and be with Christ," he said, "which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Referring to the Philippians, their benefit by his teaching them. "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ Jesus for me by my coming to you again." So Paul saw an opportunity there to spiritually strengthen the Philippians. But he said, and he made reference to the fact that to die, to avoid the persecution that he would have to go through, and to be with Christ was far better. See, Jesus is the resurrection. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, spiritually, yet shall he live." Next, we see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Over in John chapter 14, we see where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And this is what he stated to Thomas when Thomas asked him where he was going. And Jesus said and encouraged the apostles to not be troubled. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." So Jesus was the way. He's the truth, the life. So Jesus answered the question of Thomas there in verse 5. And so we see where Jesus stated that he's the way. This suggests there is one and only one way to the Father. The Greek suggests that this is a road or pathway as an illustration. It's the proper way. It's the proper way. In verse 6, these, "And no one comes to the Father except through me." It's the only way, the only avenue to the Father. The only way. He is the truth. He's not connected to a source of truth. He is the truth. He is the truth. It is the essence of his being, his divine word. In John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, John said in John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God." He represents God. He was God in the flesh. In John 17, verse 17, when he prayed for unity, he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." We see where he is the truth. He's the life. And we will be judged by his words. In John chapter 12, verse 48 through 50, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father that sent me, he gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." He spoke words of truth and soberness. So we must realize that our spiritual lives will be held in contrast to his word. We'll be judged by his word. We'll be held accountable for that. He's that life. He's the life. He's the source of all spiritual blessings. And in John chapter 1, verse 4, John said of him, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." In John chapter 9, verse 5, the text is there, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world," Jesus claimed. And as we think about John chapter 20, verse 31, when Jesus was with his disciples, Thomas came in. Thomas wouldn't believe it until he saw him. In verse 26, the text is there, "After 8 days, again his disciples were with him, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, 'Peace be unto you.' Then said he to Thomas, 'Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believe.' Thomas answered and said unto him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me and yet have believed.'" And in verse 30, the text there, "Many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing men have life to his name." Now, if a person is going to believe, this is enough evidence to convince them. This shows the all sufficiency of the scriptures, of the things written of Jesus. So many things could have been written, but weren't. But the things that are written, as John says, these are written that we might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I have life through his name. Life through his name. So Jesus is that source of life, isn't he? And in John chapter 5, verse 10, John said, "He who believes in the Son of God has a witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given his Son." When we reject Jesus, those who reject Jesus and his word, they're liars, really. Because they don't believe what God says about him. They don't believe what he teaches. And John said, "And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son, Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Then finally, Jesus said in John chapter 15 and in verse 1 and verse 5 that he is the vine, the true vine. In John chapter 15, verse 1, he said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. I am the vine, and ye are the branches." Verse 5, he said, "He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me can do nothing." See, Jesus gives that relationship as Christ. It is that vine. He's the vine to the branches. We have to abide in him. He's the source of all spiritual blessings. This is a lesson on spiritual horticulture. When we talk about pruning trees and so on, when we cut a branch off, what happens to it? It dies, doesn't it? It dies. In order for that branch to remain alive, in order for that branch to produce whatever fruit, the type of tree it is, or vine, it's got to remain on the vine, doesn't it? See, this is a passage of scripture often gone through by our denominational friends. They try to claim that Christ is the vine and the denominations are the branches. That's their claim. See, Christ said that he was the true vine. That suggests there's some false vines. He's the vine that the Father prunes. The Father is a husbandman. Who did he cut off? He cuts off those that don't produce. The disciples are the branches. The disciples must abide in the vine and bear fruit. In verse 2 there, notice, he said, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purchaseth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Then in verse 6, he said, "For a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, they are burned." So he said, if a man abide not in me, not if denominations abide in me, He said, if a man abide not in me, referring to individual responsibility that we have in order to be fruit-bearing Christians. So we must abide in him. Well, this speaks of abiding in his word. 2 John 9, we see where John said, whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes unto you and brings not this doctrine, do not receive him in your house, if you greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. So we must abide in him, we must remain in him. Now the branch cannot bear itself. It's supported by the vine. Verse 4, notice, he said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. They wouldn't bear the fruit that Jesus wanted them to bear if they didn't abide in his teaching. Then we see where abide, that word abide, is interesting. It means, it's defined by Strong, as to stay in a given place, a state of relationship, or expectancy, to abide, to continue, to dwell, endure, to be present, remain, stand, tarry in. Does it mean to be wishy-washy, does it? Well, far from that. It means to be firm and solid. We must remain faithful to his teachings, so we cannot survive except we abide in the vine. Notice verse 5 and 6. He said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Except, that word except, except ye abide in me, you cannot bear fruit. You know, when we watch a basketball game, you know, the time to get points is except the ball goes through the hoop. If they shoot and it doesn't go through the hoop, they don't get points. So, we must follow the rules of Christ. We must abide in his teaching. And when we do that, we glorify him. We glorify his word. He said, by this, that is abiding in his word, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Again, he said, I am the vine, the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. We must abide in him. Finally, in review, the I Ams of Jesus found in John illustrates remarkable deity and his provisions for us, don't they? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. So we must always respect his deity and reverence him and be obedient to his words is what we need to understand. You know, we never like to close a service without rendering or telling those that may not be Christians what they need to do to be saved, but you know, the Bible teaches that alien sinners, and we're all sinners, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Paul taught in Romans 3. But the alien sinner must hear the gospel. He must believe it. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, like we talked about. And, you know, the Jews did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. They denied him. But Jesus said, I said, therefore unto you that if ye shall die in your sins, believe not that I am he that is the Christ, you shall die in your sins. We must repent. Call to the times of the ignorance. God reached up, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. We must confess Christ. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Then we must be baptized in Christ. For those on Pentecost said, what shall we do? Jesus said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. The erring child, children of God, must repent and pray and go to God in prayer and repent of their sin and pray to God then as faithful Christians, let's be faithful till we die, no matter what comes our way, so we can be granted that crown of life on the last great day. If there's anyone here tonight who desires to respond to the Lord's invitation, I urge you to come and make your wishes known as the other family sing the song that's been sung out. Shall we stand while we sing?